Well, thank you, Keith, for that welcome. And I've got a slide of my family, just in case you would like to know who they are. And I'll click down. There it is, my family. And so I've got twin girls. They're not the ones that look like twins. The one on the far left of you is my wife, Karen. And next to her, they're just dressed the same way, isn't it? When people dress the same way that you think they're twins. The twins actually, the one on in the black and white, that's my second twin, Stephanie, and then the other daughter there, Laura. So they do look alike. And then on either side are their husbands, but the one in the middle is my son Jordan, and he is just turning 25 around Christmas time. So that's my family, and I would love to get to know you and your family hopefully later today. I've got nothing on until about 2 o'clock. So, if you have lunch or fellowship, if you welcome me, I'm lovely to have time to spend with you as well. There we go. And I think you have to do the slides for me, brother, because I think this is out of range. Here's the passage that we're going to have a look at today, John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world may be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Will you join me as we ask God to help us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that we might come to know your love again as we head towards Christmas, that we may know again of Jesus, your Son, on the cross for us. And we pray that you'll help us to trust, to depend on him. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the name of today's talk is Getting Ready for Christmas. You know, it's the 24th of November, so actually only one more month to go. And already I think around the shopping centres you can see the Christmas decorations and you're thinking, oh, no, only 30 more days and then it is Christmas. Christmas, ever since we were little children, has been about getting. You remember the Christmas mornings when you open the presents, when you get the toys, you get what you always have been wanting that year. Christmas is about getting. Until you grow up a bit more and you realize you're not getting from Santa Claus anymore. You don't believe in Santa Claus anymore. It's actually your father dressed up as Santa Claus. But it's still about getting. Doesn't matter who you get it from, Santa or your father, it's about getting. Until you grow up an even bit more and you realize you actually have to give presents to other people. So you have friends, you have younger brothers and sisters, older brothers and sisters, you have children, you have grandchildren that you actually need to give presents to. And as you line up in the checkout to buy the presents, you remember, oh no, there's that work colleague, there's that cousin that you have to give the gift to. And so you look around and see, what can I grab in the last minute to buy for them? And then you remember, I shouldn't feel like this. I should be generous and ready to give. And you remember that the spirit of Christmas is about giving. In fact, maybe Christmas is about giving. Maybe the Christian life is all about giving to others. So here's my question to you. The next slide. Coming up, next slide. If you can click for me, that would be really helpful. Is Christmas about getting or is it about giving? Is it about getting or giving? At first, we think it is about getting. Then we grow up and we know it's about giving. But is it really about giving? Have a look at this passage in John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16, a very famous verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That is, he's the one who gives. We are those who receive. It is not about us actually giving presents to others. Christmas is about us getting, us receiving, us actually getting saved. So you see the famous John 3:16, it's about us being rescued from perishing so that we'll have eternal life. Christmas is about getting that eternal life. Who is doing the giving? God is doing the giving. We are doing the getting. What has motivated God to give to us? God so loved the world. That's what motivates him, his love for us. But why does he love us? Is it because we deserve it that he wanted to give to us? A lot of times we think we are those who are pretty good people. We are nice people. We deserve God's gift. But if you have a look at this passage, very famous passage once again, God so loved the world. The world. What is this world? Does this world deserve God's gift? The world is a very big place. It includes everyone in the world. It includes all of us. No matter whether we're young or old, no matter where we are in our society, the world includes us. God so loved us, loved the world. But the world is more than just a big place. In John's Gospel, the world is a bad place. The world is a bad place. I had a friend who spoke Mandarin back in Sydney, and she wanted to learn Cantonese. And so she thought, what better place as a Christian to learn Cantonese than to learn John 3:16? So the Cantonese friends taught her, you know, Sanoi Sayan. So she started remembering Sanoi Sayan. Except she pronounced it a little bit wrong. And she said Sanoi Soyan. Which is also very true, isn't it? Because when you look at what the world is like here, the world is some place that needs saving. We are sinful. We are wicked. If you see in verse 17, coming up on the screen, verse 17, we are those who should be condemned. Condemned, punished by God into eternal death. That is the perishing that we are rescued from. We need rescuing. Yes, God is our creator, but we have turned away from our creator. It's like going to a wedding banquet. You've been to a Chinese wedding banquets, and you're there early, and like most Chinese, you're there playing mahjong, okay? So you're playing mahjong, you're enjoying all the food that the bride and groom and their parents have given to us. But when the bride and groom comes in, you don't stop. You don't stop and clap. You just keep playing mahjong. Pong, pong, pong. And that's all you care about. That is what we do to God, all of us. We enjoy all his good gifts, all his good blessings in the world, all the food, all the work that he gives us, but we don't care much about him. We just keep on going in our own life. We don't deserve God's love. We are part of this world that has rejected Him. And so you see, with the world that is condemned, you see in verse 19 and 20, if you can go to that slide of 19 and 20, we are those who are in the darkness. The light comes, but we don't want the light. We rather hide in our wickedness. We do wicked things and we hate the light, lest our wickedness is exposed. It's like you go into the kitchen and you turn on the light at night, and what do you see? You see cockroaches. And what do? They run away from the light. We are like those cockroaches. We run away from all that is good from God. We are those who do not deserve God's love. That is very different from the world's view of Christmas and from the world's view of even why Santa Claus gives people gifts. He's a very famous hymn, not a hymn actually, it's a song, it's not Christian at all, but he's a famous non-Christian carol that we often hear sung in the shopping centres. It's called Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I won't sing it for you, but it goes something like this. You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout and not be sad. I'm telling you why, because Santa Claus is coming to town, you know that song. He's making a list, the next slide. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's been naughty and who's been nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you, the next slide, when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. See, the world's view of Christmas is Santa's going to come and only give gifts to the good people, to the nice people. And the fear is, oh, God is like that. I better be good. I better watch out if God comes to judge me. Of course, God is the one who knows all our good and all our bad. In fact, if we are the world that has rejected God, there's not much good in us. Even the good we try to do, we do good because we want to do it. Our level of goodness is just comparing with other people. We are those who are evil in our hearts. And God knows. And so it's no good to just try to pretend. We are part of this world that do not deserve God's love. That is, if the good people go to heaven and the bad people go to hell, then none of us will go to heaven. Because none of us are good enough. And all of us will perish in hell in judgment. No, there's no way we can be good enough. There's no way we can deserve God's love. And yet what is special about God's love is not only that He gives us what we do not deserve, but point three, He gives us His only Son. Remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world, the evil world, that He gave His only Son. I have a son. I showed him to you just in that picture. I wouldn't give my son for anyone. He's so precious to me. Why does God give His own Son to us? Friends, it's because it was necessary. It was necessary. It was the only way in which God can rescue us from hell. It was the only way in which he could save us from our punishment. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish. If there was any other way for us to get to God, if I can be good enough, if I can come to church enough and be religious enough, if I can give money to the poor, if I can be good enough to reach God's standard, then God wouldn't have to send his Son. It is only because it was the only way to be rescued that he would give his Son. It was necessary, but also it was very, very costly. Very costly to give his Son. There's a famous video, I won't show it to you. It's about a bridge controller and a train coming. I wonder if you've seen the video. It's the idea that there's a man who's controlling the bridge. It's a drawbridge that opens up like that. There's a river below, and the train needs to cross the bridge. Every now and then they open the bridge so that the ships can go past, but when the train's about to come, they have to close the bridge. And the man, the bridge controller, he operates the lever. And once the bridge was open, and his own little son was playing around in the mechanism, in all the cogwheels which lower the bridge. And then accidentally, the son slips in amongst all the cogwheels. And then suddenly, the train starts coming. And so the bridge controller has a choice. Does he close the bridge, save the people on the train, but in the process, his son will be killed? And if you watch that video, there's a great sadness in the bridge man, in the bridge controller. As he pulls the lever, he saves the people, but his son gets crushed and killed in the cogs. Now, that is a very powerful video about just how much cost it was for God to have to lose his Son in order to save us. However, it was a very last minute choice, wasn't it? Just the last minute, like the train happened to come. It was just an accident that the Son fell in amongst the cogs. In fact, the Son just died accidentally. He was just collateral damage. The death of the Son didn't have anything to do with the saving of the people in the train. The Son was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. But John 3:16 says something very different. Yes, it was costly for God to give his Son, but God gave, in verse 17, God sent his Son. It was not last minute decision. God had decided from the beginning that he would send his Son to die for us. And the death of Jesus does something. It's not like the little boy who just happened to get caught and got mangled. No, the death of Jesus actually is the only way by which we can be saved. For he died our death. He perished on the cross. You and I, we were meant to be on the cross because of our rejection of God. And yet Jesus died there in my place. Friends, that is what Christmas is all about. Christmas is not about so much the birth of Jesus, but rather about this baby that grows up to be a man and the man who dies on the cross. Christmas is really about Easter. For God so loved the world, he sent his Son not just to be a baby, but be a man who would die on the cross for us. Not a last minute decision, but the very plan of God. We sang earlier about the temptation of Jesus just before he went to the cross. Remember? He was tempted, maybe if only I didn't have to go to the cross. He prays, God, if there's any other way, take this cup of suffering, take this cross away from me. But not my will, but your will be done. Jesus was willing to go and do the Father's will. It was God's will all along to send him to the cross. Willingly. And on the cross, even there he cries out, my God, why have you abandoned me? And what does God do? I have a son, and when he was about 3 years old, he almost drowned. We were in a swimming pool, and my twin girls were swimming around, and I was swimming on this corner, and my son had a little bubble, right, the little floaty, so that he wouldn't drown. He didn't know how to swim yet. So actually, he was about 2 years old, but he wanted to be like his sisters, so he took off the bubble. And then he walked down the steps. And the first step, the water got to here. The second step, the water got to here. And by the time he walked to the third step and into the pool, the water had got to about here. And at that point, my daughter said, Daddy, Daddy, I think Jordan is in trouble. So I rushed over. And I could see the water was here. And he was looking with his eyes and holding out his hands, saying, rescue me. What did I do? Of course, I pulled him out. What did God do when Jesus was at the cross and crying, why are you abandoning me? God didn't pull Jesus out of the cross. God let Jesus die on the cross. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. Not just that God let Jesus die, that was the very plan, that he would die on the cross. That is what Christmas is about. Christmas is not about us giving, us being nice. Christmas is about us getting. We get saved. We get rescued. And how? Well, John 3:16, whoever believes in him. Believing in Jesus, that is how. Whoever believes, doesn't matter who you are. You might think that you are nice. But friends, we can never be nice enough for God. We can never be good enough for God. We need rescuing. We need to trust, believe in Jesus. Whoever believes in him, we think maybe we are so bad, so naughty that we don't deserve it. I met a man in jail once, and as I was talking to him about the Christmas message, about Jesus coming to die for us, about how it's not about how good we are that we get to heaven, but rather it's the bad people who go to heaven, bad people who've been forgiven by Jesus' death. That's the only way any of us get to heaven. And this person in jail, this criminal, he said to me, really? There's a chance for me? See, whoever trusts in Jesus, whoever believes in him, believing in Jesus is about trusting him. It's not just intellectually, I tick the box, I agree. Yes, Jesus died on the cross. Yes, Jesus came back from the dead. But it's actually trusting what happened. To recognize that we are not nice enough to get to heaven, and to trust that Jesus dying on the cross is the only way that we can be rescued. Friends, good people go to hell because none of us are good enough. It's only us who are bad people, the soyan, forgiven by Jesus who's taken our punishment, that we can go to God, that we can go to heaven. And so what are we to do? We're to be people who actually tell others, whoever about this message. A lot of people in Hong Kong, in Sydney, in our world, who get all confused about Christianity. In the end, that's why I left medicine. I understood that medicine is not something, you know, high and mighty. It's a good job, like any other job. But like any other job, it doesn't get people to heaven. You know, as good as doctors are, they haven't changed the statistics. One out of one person still die. I understood the message of Christmas, why Jesus came, and why he hasn't come back yet, so that people have a chance to turn back, to trust in Jesus. You've got that opportunity to tell your friends, your children, your grandchildren that same message. And for yourself, get ready for Christmas. Over the next month, you'll find yourself at the checkout in some shopping mall, and you're buying gifts to give to other people. Good, I'm glad you do. But just remember that Christmas is not about you giving, but it's about you getting. It's about all of us getting saved by trusting in that gift of Jesus. To trust that his death is the only way that I can get to heaven. Will you trust and depend on Jesus like that? Let's pray. Dear Father, we pray that we might come to receive, to get the great gift of Jesus. We thank you that you sent him in order that we may be forgiven, that we may not perish eternally, that we might have life with you now and for eternity. Please, Father, help us to know that we cannot be nice enough, but rather we are naughty people, we are bad people, we are people who have rejected you. But thank you that Jesus is your gift to us at great cost. Not a last-minute gift, but your love for us, planned from long ago, because you love us so much, you gave us even your Son. And so we ask that we might trust him for eternity and trust him in this life, to hand our life over to him, knowing that you love us so much. And we pray that this Christmas, the people around us might know of this love. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.